GBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. 2025 has arrived in Sydney, Australia. Over a million people were there when midnight arrived with music, fireworks, and indigenous performances. Here at home, over a million people expected to brave the rain tonight in New York's Times Square. Security is tight. A team from the NTSB arriving in South Korea to join investigators at the scene of one of the worst aviation disasters in history. ABC News contributor John Nance, a pilot, doesn't expect quick answers about the commercial jet crash Sunday that killed 179 people on board.
As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised to see a final report take a year. By the same token, we will know very rapidly what some of the major factors were.
The Biden administration is accusing China of a major security breach at the Treasury Department and accused of accessing unclassified documents. Not clear if the incident's related to a hack last month that targeted telecommunications. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. One of the most recognized traditions associated with the new year is making resolutions or goal setting. Emily Wright is an organizational impact coach with Lakeland Care Plus Consulting, and she says before one starts to set goals for the new year, it's best to take a moment and reflect on the year that's ending.
What do you want to celebrate over this last year? What worked well? What do you want to leave behind? What were some learnings? Is there anything unfinished? You know, did we not accomplish something that we wanted to? Do we want to bring it forward? Or is it time to drop it?
Wright said looking back over the past year's accomplishments can give you momentum as you set your goals for the new year. As the holiday season kicks into high gear, Mothers Against Drunk Driving is calling on everyone to prevent impaired driving by prioritizing safety. The holiday season is one of the most dangerous times of the year on the roads due to an increase in impaired driving crashes. As millions of people travel to celebrate the holidays together, MAD encourages everyone to spread the message, never drive impaired, and plan a safe ride home to ensure a joyous holiday season. Drunk driving fatalities have increased by 33% since 2019. Every 78 seconds, someone in the United States is killed or injured by a drunk driver. MAD Wisconsin says those hosting this holiday season can also take proactive steps to ensure everyone's safety by helping guests plan a safe way home, offering a place to stay, or arranging a ride share. Hosts can play a crucial role in preventing impaired driving crashes and creating a safer holiday for all. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW. News. For news anytime, log on to wgbw.fm.
Marquette basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. The Marquette Golden Eagles are on the road in Rhode Island tonight to take on the Providence Friars. Marquette now 11-2 for the season. Head coach Shaka Smart on being ranked 8th in the nation again this week.
In sports, it comes down to what color you're wearing, you know, and which side you're on and which perspective you have. You know, what I tell our guys is we're going to control the controllables, and it doesn't change regardless of the results out there.
NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks in Chicago against the Bulls. A recap on those games coming up later tonight. NFL, the Packers reviewing the tape of their 27-25 loss to the Vikings Sunday. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
I thought there was a lot of things within our own control in terms of playing with fundamentals and discipline that we did not do a very good job of, and that was disappointing. It just was sloppy football.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be cloudy today with a high in the mid-30s this afternoon. The wind north to northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, a few flurries, our low 23. Tomorrow, it will be mostly cloudy with a high in the mid to upper 20s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
Matt and Air on Air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question. Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Our old friend and colleague, Mr. Luke Mathers, will be here with a Tuesday tangent from Luke, and we'll celebrate the new year. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the city of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. And once again, happy New Year's Eve to you. Coming your way at 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3 and 96.5 FM WISS in Appleton and Oshkosh. Got a text here, the Pabst Factor. That's a great term. I'm going to start using that. That was from Ron Umentum regarding why he decided to climb up and snap the goalposts in the south end zone after the Ice Bowl.
57 years ago today. So
he was clinging for life.
Wow, where did that time go? You know what? We talked just... It's amazing, and you're a little bit older than we are, but man, time just...
We were talking about that this morning, because we're talking about what's a good movie to watch on New Year's Eve, funny, you know, we're talking about Airplane, and Jim says Blazing Saddles, and I said, well, I don't even know if they can air that anymore, because some of the language, I go, you know, that was 1974. He goes, that wasn't that long ago. It doesn't seem that long ago. I go, okay, Jim, it was, let's put this in perspective. That was 50 years ago. In 1974, if you talked about something happening 50 years ago, you're talking 1924.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, like, I mean, you'd think that was the Dark Ages.
It's incredible. But like you said, that where did the time go? And I went somewhere and sure was good to you.
Well, it good times, bad times.
You guys both look great.
You guys could still wear your uniforms.
You guys both probably could wear the exact uniforms you wore in Vietnam, couldn't you?
I wouldn't want to wear that uniform I had in Vietnam. There were rags and dirty and smelly and chucking for after showering for four months. Yeah. No, we don't want to wear those ones. We want new ones.
You know, I still think it's one of the cool things. Ron's got a great little museum at his house, a Vietnam museum, which is really cool and very completely authentic, right down to the part of a helmet that they wore in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And they used to carry their toilet paper in like a band on top of it. And it's what does it say on the toilet paper?
It says made in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
But we only wore it on the outside of the helmet during the dry season. Because in the wet season, it had be inside the helmet,
I guess.
Isn't that kind of cool, though? But, I mean, all over Vietnam. How much money did they make by providing toilet paper to everybody?
Wrigley's, there's a lot of people that did pretty well.
You know, I've got one comment about the weather in Green Bay 57 years ago. The difference in temperature between Chuck and where I was and where he was over 100 degrees difference.
Yeah. Wow. How hot was it in Vietnam?
Well, in December, that's probably the cooler part. Okay. But he's probably still around 90 degrees with about 90% humidity. It seemed like it was hot all the time.
What was Christmas like being in Vietnam?
It was lonely, but yet you were around your friends, and you're very tight. And I had my mother sent me a Christmas tree, and it made my Christmas. And then I remember they sent a box of cookies. Well, by the time the box got there from being tossed around, that's all it was crumbs. So I couldn't offer anybody a cookie. I could offer them a handful of crumbs.
Oh, my God.
And believe me, every crumb was gone.
Wow. That's cool. How about for your subject? Were you there at Christmas at all?
Yeah. Two
of them. Wow.
Yeah, because of our 13-month tour.
Oh, that's right.
Ron pointed out. Yeah, because I got there just prior to Christmas of of 67. So I remember I was at the Quezon base, and like I say, things weren't happening yet.
Right.
So we had a hot meal, and I remember distinctly, that was my last shower. They had a makeshift shower there, and I still had my white skivvies, you know. And when I went in to take a shower, I was teased, you know, the cherry boy, this and that. So them went out immediately. But it was, like Ron said, a very lonesome time. In fact, when we were leaving for Vietnam, we left out of California. We were on a bus getting transported to LA International Airport, and to see the Christmas decorations and everything, that bus, it was just total silence. All of us in that bus is probably the first Christmas ever away from home, and that was a very touching moment.
Yeah,
you know? But there again, you weren't alone.
Well, and I think what I wanted to pick up on was you talk about not being alone, but the football game brought you two guys together. I mean, you went to high school, but you're halfway around the world. One's turned on the goalposts. The other one's, you know, fighting for the country, which you ended up doing, Ron, a couple months later. But that still happens today. I mean, football really is a connector of people, of generations. There's people that call their dad, even though they may live in California, their dad lives here. And I just think that's the beauty of the NFL. I think it is really, and you guys are talking about years and years ago, but even today, I think the NFL really connects different groups of people around something that we're so proud of.
Yeah, it just takes the edge off the toxic things that are going on in this country and the world today. You know, I think
you need an escape.
Yeah,
right.
It does. It takes your mind off from it, and people are going to complain about it, like the last Packer loss. Everybody's upset about it.
Right.
But that's what sports is, you know. It's just the
absolutely.
Know,
yeah.
Everybody's a coach.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody knows.
We do know our football.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we can talk politics all we want. We can have differences in families, but when the football game starts,
right. Absolutely,
we're one.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
No question about it. No question about it. One other thing about being over there,
and if they're not, they're out of the family. So
you're damn right. Go sit in the living room.
One of the things that when I made my little trips and I asked the guys, I said, "Give me something that people back in the United States in our communities don't appreciate unless you don't have it." Is what I'm saying. And one of the things that was memorable for me, one of the guys said, "I can't wait to go to a high school. I can't wait to walk up to a high school football stadium with the band playing and the lights on and you know, little things like the smell of fresh cut grass and things like that when you can't have it, how much you miss it." Can you guys think of anything back in those days when you were in Vietnam that it's like, "Man, when I get back, yada, 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 I'm going to do such and such." Was there anything for you guys?
Food.
Oh, yeah.
Food, mainly food, because that's all we survived on were sea rations the majority of our tour. And up at Quezon on the hill we were on, we never got a hot meal there. It was just whatever was available. So we were limited on supply sometimes because it was it was foggy and stuff. So, and the helicopters, they had them zeroed in. The minute they'd drop a load, bam, 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 in come the incoming. So it was it was a real luxury. And like Ron was saying, to get something from home, we called it a care package. Mm-hmm. I remember my parents sent me packed in newspaper. It was like angel food cake. It was all dried and everything. It was right after we got hit, about a week or so after. And the guys in my squad, you know, you shared it. And it was no sanity. It was just grab and go. We all ate that cake in a short while. And then it was kind of funny. One of the black guys in our squad, he picked up the crumpled newspaper from the O'Connell Falls, and it was like a Deegantown News, they called it. And it was like, "Oh, Uncle Henry came over for Thanksgiving, and he ate too much, and he got sick, and he had to lay on the couch, you know." And he said, "Man, where?"
He's from like Detroit, wasn't he?
Yeah, where in the hell are you from, right, man? You know, you're talking guys
slow
from the hood,
day.
You know.
Yeah. So, how about you, Ronnie?
Well, I think my big thing was getting home and being able to sleep on white sheets, because I was on a night ambush team for most of the time. I was trained in 81 mortars. Chuck was trained in 60 mortars. We used to call those pea shooters. But anyway, thinking that when I get home, I can't wait to sleep in a bed. Well, when I got home, I couldn't sleep in the bed because I was so used to sleeping on the ground. So it took a while to get used to it.
Yeah.
The food was a big thing. Eating those C rations, getting the care packages were always shared. And the rat sandwiches, though, I told a story to John about the rat sandwiches. That was actually, I thought it was a delicacy until I found out what it was.
Wow.
So,
do you celebrate this this ice bowl that we're, I mean, it's New Year's Eve, and you've got a lot to be grateful for. I'm sure you, I've talked to both you guys numerous times, but given that, what do you do New Year's Eve? You patriotic about it, dinner?
Not really. I'm, for some reason, I'm not a New Year's Eve person.
Right.
The holidays.
Okay, let me just this. And this coming from a guy that throws the greatest summer parties I've ever been to in my lifetime. Wouldn't you agree with that, Chuck?
Yeah.
But New Year's, you throw the summer party, but you kind of take off New Year's Eve?
Yeah, New Year's Eve, for some reason, I've always, ever since I've been back to Vietnam, like, that's a special time for me.
And you, like you did go back to Vietnam.
Yes, I did. Yeah. So I don't celebrate New Year's really heavy. I have been invited to a party this year, and I'm going. But for some reason, the holidays, I never could get off my mind what it was like in Vietnam, right, about the holidays and what are we celebrating. One thing I do remember on Christmas, though, the fire bases, they would always fire up their hand flares, colored hand flares on Christmas, yeah, and New Year's. Yep. And you could see where the bases were, which probably wasn't good because they were marking the spots. Right.
You know, I just watched a thing
whose
last
idea was that?
Night on the internet. There's a thing on Bob Hope specials. Did you guys never had a chance to go to any of those kind of things, did you? Or
I was that close because I was my rotation date was back to the States, but I was too low on the totem pole.
Oh, to get
it was the 69. I was just getting ready to come back, you know, and I got put on guard duty.
Okay.
And all the brass went. You
know. I did get selected to go to see Bob Hope at Cu Chi in Vietnam. And
I'm going to be honest with you. In the thing I watched, and we're now leaving Cu Chi and going to. But when they went to Cu Chi, they had to wait before they could land because of sniper fire at the end of the runway. And they had to send some patrols out to clean out the snipers before they landed.
Well, and I was at a place called Ben Cal. And when I was selected, they said, well, you can go. I think there were three of us out of the company that could go. And he said, but you have to walk through this village without carrying your weapon. And I said, I'm not going through that village without carrying a weapon. So I declined to go.
Wow. What a great story.
That is.
Oh, my gosh.
I took my weapon over Bob Hope.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry. Done the same thing.
Any day.
And I wasn't thinking about Bob Hope. I was thinking about the people he was with.
Raquel Welch.
And yeah.
That's who he was with back then?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. And Margaret.
Margaret.
That's what I meant. Man. And Margaret's thinking of. Wow.
Yeah. He always had such a nice show, you know. I mean, really, really dedicated.
Well, it was good. I mean, I watched it last night. It was like, it was really good. I mean, yes. Corny, of course, with the jokes and Bing Crosby jokes and things like that that young people nowadays would have no idea. But
right.
I'll tell you what, Raquel Welch still brought his draw.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was a little bit of home. There, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Hey, all right. They looked like that in Styles back in the day. There. We got to send a quick break. Back with more right after this.
When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will dry them all. I'm on your side.
Listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
At Lakeland Care, we are passionate about creating a world we all want to live in. Lakeland Care supports frail elders and adults with disabilities through Wisconsin's Family Care Program. As a Lakeland Care member, you'll benefit from a dedicated care team that assists you in managing your health and daily activities. Our personalized support aims to improve your quality of life and help you maintain your independence. To find out if you qualify, contact your county's Aging and Disability Resource Center. To learn more about Lakeland Care, visit lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Facing an energy crisis, high inflation, and rising unemployment, President Jimmy Carter addressed the nation in his Crisis of Confidence speech on July 15, 1979.
The erosion of our confidence in the future is threatening to destroy the social and the political fabric of America. The confidence that we have always had as a people is not simply some romantic dream or a proverb in a dusty book that we read just on the 4th of July. It is the idea which founded our nation and has guided our development as a people. Confidence in the future has supported everything else, public institutions and private enterprise, our own families and the very Constitution of the United States. Confidence has defined our course and has served as a link between generations. We've always believed in something called progress. We've always had a faith that the days of our children would be better than our own. Our people are losing that faith, not only in government itself, but in the ability as citizens to serve as the ultimate rulers and shapers of our democracy.
We've linked the full speech at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Okay, what year was
Bridge Over Troubled Water, number one hit on this date in 1970.
Nice work. Nice work. Give him a bell there, Jim. Okay, I don't have it in here.
All right, there you got the Johnny Good.
Thank you.
Time.
Just talked to Rocky Blair. He's coming on in one quick second here. Pretty amazing, though. I mean, talk about that era of high school football. You guys both, Promontre guys, Rocky Xavier. I mean, it's amazing how many like big names and how many of those guys ended up in Vietnam afterwards. I mean, look at a class picture, the football team picture, and a lot of you guys. I mean, that was a tough time to go to high school as far as what your future entailed, correct?
Well, I wasn't planning on that type of future.
Yeah, I know. Right. Nobody really.
But it turned out okay.
Yeah.
You guys were drafted, right?
No, I volunteered.
You volunteered?
I enlisted, yeah.
Okay, all right. Because like you said, just a lot of people a couple years older than us went. Maybe 5 years older than us.
About 5 years.
Right.
Yep. But let me ask you this. When you guys were in high school, were you thinking, holy crap, I might end up in Vietnam in a couple of years? Because you had, I'm sure from about 64 graduates on, a lot of that was like the fodder era. I hate to use the word fodder, but let's be honest with you. That's what the government thought of a lot of the draftees, correct?
Yeah. That's correct. I wasn't thinking about going to Vietnam. I was thinking about getting out of high school, going to work. I had a job lined up. I worked there for a year, and then I went into the service. At one point, I was going to go with two of my other friends, my good friends. We went down for our physicals, and they both flunked. So going in on the buddy plan, the two buddies went home.
Wow. And you couldn't change your mind? You already signed? Wow.
That's right. Oof. And then when we took our physical, they wouldn't let us go home. They swore us in right there. So we couldn't change our minds. They swore us in our underwear.
Wow. But Chuck, you enlisted, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I remember like at Promontre, being a Catholic high school, we had part of your daily curriculum was a religion class. And I remember we had this religion teacher. And the talk was a lot about killing because a lot of us knew. You know, I mean, how do you justify it? It's such a bad thing. And then all of a sudden, it's okay, you know. And it bothered you because you were so... I went through 8 years of Catholic grade school, all nuns. Okay. That's why somebody asked me, how did you make it through Marine Corps boot camp? And I said, they ate your nuns in grade school. It's a piece of cake.
I agree.
Todd, we got my man on. All right, ladies and gentlemen... Live from Pittsburgh, the Steel City, the pride of Appleton Xavier, the pride of the University of Notre Dame, and the pride of the Pittsburgh Steelers, ladies and gentlemen, Rocky Blair. Good morning, Rock.
Good morning, John. How are you? How's everybody?
We're great. I'm with two Vietnam veterans here, and they were just talking about how they kicked your butt in high school football when they're at Promontory.
Of course. Of course they did. Chuck, they didn't win, but they did kick my butt.
Chuck, what is your claim to fame with Rocky when you played against him?
His cleats going over the top of me. I got to see the bottom of his shoes. So.
Hey, is that the shoe that was like gold plated now and in the Xavier Trophy case?
Yeah, I believe it is. Yeah. Part of my nose is on it.
Rocky, we're here with Chuck. You've met Chuck before. Ronnie Umentum is here. Ronnie was at the 25th Infantry, 4th Division. Ronnie, tell about the little connection you have, and you got a picture here with Rocky.
Well, first of all, Rocky, thank you for everything you've done in Vietnam and what you did for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Coming back from what you did sure showed your real character. I remember you were a motivation speaker, and I attended some program down there. You were speaking, and I came up to you, and I said, I asked you if you knew a guy by the name of Bill Ehrlich. And Bill, when I was in Vietnam, Bill said, hey, did you know a guy by the name of Rocky Blair? I said, well, I went to Promontory. I remember his name from Xavier, and nobody could beat the Hawks. So, and I remember his name. I said, sure, I know he lived in Appleton. And he said, well, I went to basic training with him. And then he told me, he said, well, if you ever see Rocky, say hi. Well, when I saw you, I said, hey, Bill says hi. And then you said to me, well, if you see Bill, tell him hi for me. And I said, well, Bill got killed. He got killed in Cambodia. And, that's the tie I had with Bill Ehrlich, and I don't know if you remember him.
Of course, yes, I do. I mean, I mean, when you said the name Bill Ehrlich, it registered. I remember the name very much so.
It is amazing how you guys remember guys, though, names, places, where you knew this guy. That stuff, when you're in that element, and that's your world, those things stick with you, don't they?
They sure do.
I had a guy tell me one time he could tell you every village he ever walked through in Vietnam. I know, some guy, it's just etched in their mind because they thought, is this the last village I'm going to walk through? And that always etched in his mind. Isn't that the truth, Rock?
Well, yes, you know that. Those gentlemen have great memories. Thank God that they do, remembering that experience. And, you know, and it's the same, you know, it's the same thing in all of our lives. And as you go through and the memories you have, the games that you played and the competition we had when we were in high school, growing up, as I heard, was it either you, Ronnie, or Chuck, talk about the nuns? and growing up, and I tell people the same thing. I said, you know, the fact is that I had 8 years of Catholic grade school, Notre Dame nuns, 4 years of Christian Brothers,
oh, wow.
And Xavier, and then 4 years of Holy Cross priests.
That made basic
at Notre Dame. You know, I've had 16 years of being beaten up.
We've all kind of been through that. We had the Christian Brothers at Roncalli as well, and. But you guys did something with the serving this country. But what surprises me every time people like you come on is you kind of remember, as tragic as that was, how difficult, you remember the good times. Well, and that amazes me how you guys never complain.
Because it's the ones who remember the bad times are the ones who have problems. You have to remember the good times and recall the bad times.
Wow. That's a great point.
Yeah, it is. Makes a lot of sense now.
Hey, Rocky. Rocky, so I just texted you a picture. Did you get the picture I texted you?
Yes, I did. I saw that.
Yeah, that is Ronnie sitting next to me talking to you at the Ice Bowl when he's tearing down the goalposts. And how much longer before that were you in Vietnam, or after that?
It was a year.
1 year later, he's in Vietnam. Chuck was on the hilltop at Khe Sanh listening to the Ice Bowl. You were at the Ice Bowl. We need to hear your amazing story about being front row and center of two of the greatest plays in NFL history, and you missed them both. Back after this.
Some people want to fill the world with silly love songs. And what's wrong with that?
From De Pere to Suamico, 97.9 WGBW. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Believe it or not, the deadline to file to run for office in the next election is coming up really soon. With more on that, here's Civic Media's Jimmy Cuska.
Are you interested in running for a local nonpartisan office this spring? Now is the time to get your paperwork in. To get on the ballot for the upcoming spring election, you'll need to be eligible for the office you're running for, file a notification of candidacy, circulate nomination papers, and file a campaign finance form. If you don't file your paperwork in time, you can still register as a write-in up until noon the Friday before the spring election on April 1st. If needed, a primary will be held on February 18th. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Find more information, including the forms you need to file, on the Wisconsin Elections Commission website. Green Bay police are asking for the public's help with a hit-and-run accident that injured five people and damaged five vehicles. The accident happened in the 1700 block of Main Street just before 5 Saturday evening. The driver of the SUV, traveling at a high rate of speed, struck several vehicles, some of which were parked in a nearby lot. Authorities believe the driver is the registered owner of the vehicle, and they're asking for that person to come forward. They're also asking anyone with information to call the Green Bay Police Department or Crime Stoppers. As holiday decorations start to come down, the question becomes, what do you do with the tree? Bay Beach Wildlife Sanctuary will take natural trees. They use them as shelters for birds and mammals. You can also create a shelter in your backyard by removing all hooks and wires, decorations and lights from the tree, and then redecorating it with popcorn, cereal, berries, or pine cones rolled in peanut butter and bird seed. This will act as food and shelter for your backyard wildlife. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News. For news anytime, log on to WGBW.FM.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. People seem to notice the variety of well-reviewed films playing at the box office currently and headed to the big screen over the weekend. Sonic the Hedgehog Part 3 took the top spot at the gate with $38 million and is currently at $137 million in its first 2 weeks in theaters. The Lion King's Mufasa took a close second place with $37 million in change in its second week and is showing some good word of mouth as it is actually outperforming its haul from last week. People also wanted a little horror over their holiday as newcomer Nosferatu, which opened on Christmas Day, surprised prognosticators by pulling in $40 million over 5 days and $21 million over the weekend. Wicked and Moana 2 rounded out the top five, with Wicked pulling in $19.5 million and Moana 2 pulling in just over $18 million. Also opening on Christmas Day was the new Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown, which pulled in $23 million over 5 days and finished in sixth place last weekend with $11.6 million. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be cloudy today with a high in the mid-30s this afternoon. The wind north to northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, a few flurries, our low 23. Tomorrow, it will be mostly cloudy with a high in the mid to upper 20s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 31.
Hi, I'm Michael Friedman, CEO of Simple Life Hospitality. Let us take the hassle out of vacation rental property management. We'll maximize your earnings and handle every detail from cleaning to maintenance and repairs. For guests, enjoy a stay that feels like home with hand-selected properties, personal touches like local recommendations, and extras like concierge service that will make your trip unforgettable. Whether you're a homeowner or a traveler, experience the Simple Life. Visit SimpleLifeRentals.com.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WGBW weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversations in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WGBW.FM today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversations. Sign up today at WGBW.FM/newsletter. Dom Selvia.
Next time, we'll review the strikes and gutters, the ups and downs, and the good and bad of 2024. Plus, how much use are those New Year's resolutions worth anyway? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app.
download it today.
Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. 97.9 FM WGBW in downtown Green Bay. WISS 98.3 and 96.5 in Oshkosh and Appleton. We're joined by one of Appleton's, well, I'm not even saying one. We're joined by Appleton's favorite son. He was voted over Houdini as Appleton's favorite son.
Don't give me that. How did that happen? Oh, man.
Jeez. Well, actually, you came in second behind Joe Bowers, your old teammate.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right. That was correct.
So we're with Rocky Blyer. We're with Ronnie Umentum. We're with Chuck Wellens and all Vietnam vets. But, Rocky, you got to tell the story about before you went to Vietnam, you went to the Ice Bowl. Just give a synopsis of two of the most amazing things you were around. Bart Starr's quarterback sneak to win the Ice Bowl and Franco Harris's immaculate reception when you were a teammate of his. Tell me your viewpoint of both, Rocky.
All right. I won't bore you much, but I'll tell you very quickly what had taken place. So I had been I was at home from Notre Dame. It was my senior year, and the end of the football season, I had ACL tear, and so I had an operation, and I was with a cast and on crutches. And so I'm at home, and Dad said, "Hey, I got tickets for the Packers game. Would you like to go?" Okay, fine. And so to put it in perspective for your listeners out there, unlike today, we didn't have that kind of material in coverage. So what we had to have to do was layer up, correct? So you had long johns on, you had a pair of pants on, then you have hunting pants on top of that. And so I took my cast off, wrapped up my knee, and padded up and went to the game. So I'm on crutches. We got seats. We get to the game at 12:45 in our seats. 1 o'clock kickoff. 14 below zero. At 1 o'clock, I wanted to go home. And so we sit there watching that whole game, freezing as everyone else did and taking place. Comes down to the last 2 minutes. I can picture it right now. Chuck Mersin takes a quick pass off to the side and gets out of bounds around the 40, 45, maybe the 50, 45-yard line. 2 minutes. Dad turned to me and he said, "I think maybe we should leave and kind of beat the crowd. You're on crutches. Everybody's still in the stadium." And I go, "Okay." I had no problem with that. Let's go, because I'm freezing. So we get out. We get out of the stadium. We're in the parking lot. I'm on my crutches. And when all of a sudden, we hear this roar take place. And Dad and I look at one another. We wonder, okay, so we got to hustle to the car. So we get to the car so we can turn the radio on and see what had taken place. And we get to the car, and the lock's frozen. Not like today. The lock's frozen. So Dad's on his knees, putting his mouth over the lock, trying with hot breath to melt all the
mouth to mouth.
Get the key in. So we get the key in. We get in, and so I hear about the final touchdown on the radio, and that was my experience with the Ice Bowl. But at least I was there.
You were there, right? Yep. You qualified. So, you were there.
Yep. But at least, but you know what? Okay, that's probably the second most famous play in NFL history. You were at a front row seat. You were a teammate of one of the guys that scored the most dramatic touchdown in NFL history. Talk about your viewpoint of that one, the immaculate reception with Franco Harris.
Well, you know, and over the years, that has taken place. And so that was in 1972, just a couple years ago. And over that period of time, I think that I have run into specifically 236,113 people that saw the Immaculate Reception.
Yeah.
Was in a stadium and saw the Immaculate Reception. And I go, "No, you didn't." "Yes, I did. I saw the Immaculate Reception." I said, "No, That did not happen, only because of the fact, think about it, at a time, let's just say you're on Route 41 coming from Green Bay down in Appleton, Wisconsin, and it's one of those wonderful winter days that we have, sleet, and there's ice, and there's black ice, and all of a sudden you hit the black ice, and you don't see it, and you're spinning, and you're going off to the side of the road, and you're heading right for this telephone pole that is sitting there. You don't go, oh, with your eyes wide open, oh, I'm going to hit that. No, you throw your hands up over your face. I can't watch it. And so that's what happened at the Immaculate Reception.
Nobody saw it.
You might have been there, but when that ball bounced backwards, you know, you threw your hands up, and you go, oh, my God, the game's over with. And you miss Franco catching the ball. I was on the same I'm on the sidelines. And the reason I can say this, because I'm on the sidelines, the play takes place. Bradshaw drops back. He's looking downfield. He sees Franco field ball, not a running back. And he releases the ball. Franco, the ball, and Tatum, defensive back, all collide at the same time, and the ball goes flying backward. Okay, when that happened, I saw that. Bradshaw's back, he looks downfield, and I said to myself, I can't watch this. And I turned around to take a look, it looked like I was busy doing something so that people would say, you know, what a sissy. He's not even watching what takes place. So I missed the whole thing. And only now my teammates are yelling, he scored, we scored what? You know what happened down there? And so, like everybody else, you watched it on television, you saw the replays, and that was how I remember that.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, yes.
Two greatest plays in NFL history. You were front row for both, and you basically missed them both.
Missed them both.
Love it, Rocky. Love it. Listen, I know you got 9,000 people that want to talk to you today. We can't thank you enough for joining us. To have three tremendous Vietnam veterans, all football players, too, and the whole thing in your era. And Jim and I talk about this, too. What a wonderful era of men came out of that era. And you're one of them. And Chuck, you're one of them. And Ronnie, you're one of them. And it's an honor for you guys to share your experiences with us, really and truly. And I guarantee our listeners are just love it like you can't believe.
And you've continued to give back. You just continued. You had your service, but then just time after time. And, we're just very grateful. You guys are good guys.
Chuck and Ronnie, before we leave, welcome home, brothers. I want to at least extend that. To us after all these years, and thank you for your service, obviously.
Thanks.
And being a Vietnam vet, I appreciate it.
Have a happy new year, Rocky. I consider it a real honor to meet you in person the day we did in Appleton, and I got pictures of that all over in my living room, and they're going to stay there until the day I die.
So that was another tough game that Fremont right there. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Chuck was the starting center.
John, whenever we get a chance to talk about during the football season, we got to come back and talk about that rivalry, which was a big rivalry at that time.
We would love it. What position did you play, Chuck?
Guard?
Okay. And Ronnie?
Well, thank you, Rocky, and it was a pleasure to hear from you again, and thank you for your service.
You're welcome, guys. Have a great New Year's Eve, and of course, a great new year.
Thank you, my friend.
I wish you well. John, we'll be talking to you.
Absolutely, buddy. Thank you so very much. You're the greatest. Rocky Blyer joining us. Thank you, my friend. Happy New Year to you. Wow. Isn't he great? Stories.
Something.
All right. We're going to be talking with a gentleman from the Grand in Oshkosh, a huge special you can watch tonight that was taped there. PBS special that was shot last summer. The Four Phantoms is the name. Do we have Joe on right there? Big Joe, how you doing, brother?
Great.
Big night tonight.
You've been waiting a long time for this, haven't you?
That's right. Big New Year's Eve right at home.
It is. That's going to be great. So you had the Four Phantoms there. When did this take place?
The show that will appear in the special was taped this past March.
Oh, March.
We are a three-day weekend and a week-long ramp-up to that. Literally to put that kind of lighting into the Grand, we had to strip all of the lights that you normally would see in the Grand were gone. All of the curtains you normally see in the Grand were gone. The sound, you can see, those who can see in the photos, the sound is up in the air on towers, the speakers, which is something we did temporarily for that show that was so popular that we're going to make it part of the permanent renovation of the theater. But we literally took everything out, put it in a trailer, sent it away, and then they came in with a tractor trailer, which, you know, it's not a big deal when you have a theater the size of the PAC and they bring those giant trucks in. But when you're talking about the Grand, right, and a tractor trailer full of equipment, that's a big deal. So it took days to set that up. And and then we went through the thing. The production truck showed up. They did their tests. They ran B-roll footage on the opening thing and then recorded twice, two performances. And they ended up with what looks like a 8 or 10 camera shot. And it's really splendid. I have seen it, and the Grand looks beautiful. It's fun to see the audience great shots and some people, you know, and of course the Phantoms, loved it. And it's now their signature thing. That this special has appeared coast to coast in September in all of the major markets, east, west, north, south, and it's premiered in Milwaukee, PBS already. But this will be its northeastern Wisconsin premiere. This is where the people who helped make it possible can tune in tonight.
What a great New Year's Eve. Absolutely. I mean, Jim and I were talking about what old movies we had watched tonight or whatever. And this is something brand new. Right here with one of the most famous things. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And it really is splendid. It's really well done. The Toffanelli group who did the stuff, they in their past, they had done Ray Charles and Aretha Franklin, and they knew their way around producing a television special. Yeah. So it was really fun, and the stuff I had to learn along the way was pretty crazy.
You know what I think is cool, though, Joe? Everybody gets to see. I mean, I had never been in there until this past fall when we went there. We were just blown away by the Grand. What a beautiful, how many years, 100 and how many years old?
141
years. 141 years old. I think it's cool you get a chance to show off this unbelievable facility.
Well, and I'm not going to lie. When they get to the end of the thing, and it's playing coast to coast, and it says recorded live at the Grand Oshkosh, yeah, gives you a link to get there, and it's a big deal, and we're real pleased about it. They'll use the footage forever. PBS will continue to cycle it in forever. There's a nice CD. There's a nice DVD. And it turned into quite a focal time, an important time for us.
Can you tell us what time?
It's going to be a year full of focal times.
I'm sorry. Can you tell us what time it's going to air tonight?
It is at 7 o'clock tonight on PBS. It repeats at 1 a.m. for those of you who want to, see it after the ball drops. And then it's got three more plays this coming week on the Wisconsin Channel, the kind of B channel for for PBS. It plays Friday the 3rd of January at 9 p.m., Saturday the 4th at 3 p.m., and for you night owls, Thursday the 9th at 4 o'clock a.m. I guess that's – in Wisconsin, that's not night owling. That's more like early
get
rising.
Home. I'll tell you, Joe, that's the one I'm going to watch.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, I think it's awesome. It's going to be running in the regular rotation, but it better not preempt my favorite thing of the guy that moved to Alaska and built a cabin out of just an axe.
I know, right?
You know what I mean.
You go. What did we kick out? What do we? We're going. We're right before the.
Get rid of Bob Ross.
The big PBS New Year's Eve special.
Todd just got mad. Do not get rid of Bob Ross.
And that's right.
And there's some expansion coming to the Grand, Joe. Can you stick around and tell us about that?
Yeah, I want to hear about that.
I can. Yeah.
We love your place. Minor and the Mayor, New Year's Eve, 2024. Back after this.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on Air.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate.
As 2024 comes to a close, we're taking our annual look back at the year that was, recapping our most read, most listened to, and most impactful stories of the year. If you're new to learning about the Recombobulation area, this would be a great place to start to see what we're all about. This year, we covered the RNC in Milwaukee and the DNC in Chicago and broke stories that made national news along the way. We wrote about the fight for fair maps and covered elections in the state legislature like no one else. I wrote opinion columns and feature stories and conducted extended sit-down interviews like one with Senator Tammy Baldwin. I hosted podcasts and radio shows and, of course, joined the Civic Media Network, where you've heard me all over the airwaves for the last few months. This last year was discombobulating at times, but we did our best to make sense of it all, and we've got a whole lot more recombobulation in store for the year ahead in 2025.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm going to connect the idea of imagining yourself being good at money with my favorite academic research paper ever, which is about shooting free throws. Basketball. Stay with me. The study had one group of players practice their free throws every day for an extra 2 hours, and then another group of players imagining themselves practicing free throws for the same amount of time every day. The researchers called this simulated mental practice. The research showed that the mental practice, without any actual physical execution, improved their free throw shooting more than just going through the motions. I'm not saying that imagining yourself good with money will suddenly make you a gazillionaire, or imagining that free throw shooting is going to make you Damian Lillard, but both can help. For more practical money tips, visit workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hey, welcome back.
Great song. This is not my running when I used to run. This is, right? What year, Johnny?
77.
I think it's a year earlier.
I don't have that up. Sorry.
Okay. Oh. Welcome back. The Grand Oshkosh PBS special tonight at 7 o'clock, which is amazing. We got Joe coming our way, Jer Furlow from the Grand in Oshkosh. Talk about the way you guys are expanding this coming year, Joe.
Well, it you know, normally it'll be the quiet time when I'm out there raising money to get a project done. But when you have a partnership with the city, as the Grand does, you know, the city owns the building and we manage the building for the city. There's no such thing as a secret, right? So this last fall, we finally finalized an arrangement that took most of the year to put into place, and that is a $10 million expansion of the Grand. With half of it covered by the city of Oshkosh and the other half to be raised by the Grand Oshkosh. So we'll be going out sometime in the course of 2025 to raise $5 to $7 million to take care of our half of the project. The project is transformative, but what it's not, and the most important thing is, what it's not is something that's going to change what the Grand looks like when you sit in the Grand. You know, that's, the Grand is on the National Register of Historic Places. The Grand is second to none in atmosphere for sitting in a theater. What will happen is you'll be in more comfortable seats. Things that have been in the Grand for 40 years that have been an issue are being fixed along the way. The sound will be improved. And think the wallpaper and the things will be touched up, but the Grand's going to look the same. It's the complex around the Grand that gets expanded. The lobby space and the Grand Lounge above, the backstage area, all of that gets expanded to more modern services. The Grand Lounge was going to become just a first-class venue all in of itself, about twice the size of what it is right now. Beautifully doubled through its wall to extend across what's now an alley next to the theater, and all of that is geared towards audience comfort and audience services. And also, you know, we do 100 performances a year. What are you going to do the rest of the days of the year? That's what theaters are struggling at with forever now. Well, we've started to program the Grand Lounge. We've started to do things, but it's been difficult to monetize and to turn that into the profit center that it needs to be. So not only does it enable us to do better services for shows that we do, but we'll probably program the theater closer to 200 days a year. There'll be events going on in the Grand Lounge all the time. We'll take our summer when people are normally what they want to play outside. Let's face it, don't we all? And so I don't do shows in the summer, but I can run a Grand Lounge in the summer with live music and a deck, you know, and what turns out to, what was solidly dark time for us, quiet time, turns out to be solidly a profit center. So it changes the whole way that the Grand can make things work, while at the same time improving what we do best, which is shows.
Wow. Beautiful.
And kudos to the city for stepping up with 50% of the capital campaign.
I can't say enough about the city council, the city management, and all the work. It took a lot to get this written up in a way that was good for both the Grand and good for the city.
Did you just steal Jim's speech from about 15 years ago and talking about the... Pete, no.
What?
Probably sounded different when it was.
I can't thank our city council enough.
You know,
and the mayor. Jim,
Jim, you know darn well that it takes when you're talking about that kind of money, there's a lot of words.
That's real money.
To protect. But, I mean, think about it, Johnny. To protect the donors.
I've been there.
To protect the organization.
Exactly.
And
you know, $100,000.
I'm glad we're there.
I
don't want to say the easy part is raising the money.
No.
But one of the most difficult, that was a real milestone for us when we got to the point where everybody said, yeah, we think this is a good idea. Let's sign the paper.
That's awesome.
Congrats. Awesome. Well, Joe, best of luck to you, my friend. Can't wait to watch that special. And I still want to take my granddaughters to your dog show thing.
And that's okay.
Oh, and I'm coming,
date.
And I'm coming out to
March 22nd for the
22nd.
Super Tramp.
That's Super Tramp, that's right.
Love them. So I will see you on the 20th. Yeah, we're going to both be there. So
outstanding.
That's great. All right, well, Happy New Year to you, and congratulations
on
the past
to you
year.
All. But man, you by the way, I enjoyed listening to Rocky Blyer. That was fun.
Isn't he something? Great?
I'm sure I was, you know, in Three Rivers Stadium.
Oh, that's right.
You know.
Yeah. All right, get out of here, Joe. Hey, Joe, Happy New Year's. Yeah.
Okay. Same to you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, my friend. Take care, Paisan.
All right,
great. Joe Furlow, Grand Oshkosh. Well, gentlemen, we're wrapping up for the year 2024. Give me your big goals for 25. Ronnie, you hold another big party for us out there?
Well, it's up to you.
All right, I say yes.
Okay, my goal would be have another party.
Ronnie threw a party out of his place that is the greatest party house with a pond. With whatever, we had, it was the greatest thing because we had World War II veterans, Korea War veterans, Vietnam veterans, Iraq vets, some of them stopped by. What a great collection of veterans that was, wasn't it?
Oh, it Chuck? Was, yeah. I mean, and I just want to thank John so much for the book that, at the time, I didn't think much of it, but since we moved on, I met some of the greatest guys. Ron sitting right here next to me, a guy by the name of Wolfie.
The Wolf Man.
Yeah, we just share so much in our experiences in Vietnam, and to be able to talk to somebody.
That's great. That
and here you are, after all those years later, you're still sitting here and in great health and moving on to another year. So congratulations, and I don't mean this in a flippant way, congratulations for surviving and thriving afterwards. Not everybody can say that. It takes courage to do that. Congratulations on that, Chuck.
It's doing to my family, I tell you.
Yeah.
I got a great family.
And there's work to be done, but you guys are great examples of, and I think you made a really good point earlier when you said focus on the positive things. You know, recall the not so good, but focus on what's positive.
Ronnie, congratulations on you, my friend.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jim and John.
Have a great 2025. Thank you for your service.
It's gonna
be a good one. Thank you for having the guts to raise your right hand and putting your life on the line for our country. Appreciate that, and always will. Everybody, thank you so very much. Be safe. Happy New Year.
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we run through some of our favorite This Shouldn't Be a Things. Also, we talk the wonderful world of weddings coming up. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey Kay, a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments, and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. 2025 first arrived hours ago on the remote South Pacific island of Kiribati. It's now the new year in places like New Zealand, Australia, and eastern parts of Russia. And over a million will welcome 2025 when it arrives at New York City's Times Square.
The police are taking no chances. Manholes are being sealed off, trash cans removed, and spectators are allowed to bring in no umbrellas, no bags, and no booze.
ABC's Aaron Katursky in Times Square. In South Korea, crash site investigators today searching the Muan International Airport's runway inch by inch, some of them on their hands and knees, collecting any piece of forensic evidence that might offer a clue into Sunday's Jeju air crash that left 179 people dead. Plans are now in place for the goodbyes to late President Jimmy Carter, a viewing Saturday at the Georgia State Capitol in the Carter Center. Then his remains will lay in state at the U.S. Capitol. Finally, Thursday, a state funeral at the National Cathedral. This is ABC News.